You're listening to Faith Bridge Men.
Well, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Is that true? I'm not so convinced, right? We've all been deeply wounded by words. I hate you. You don't have what it takes. And all of our lives can be divided in these seasons of before and after based on just a few simple words. You're hired. I do. I'm pregnant. It's a boy. It's cancer. I want a divorce. There's no heartbeat. Words have power. God created the heavens and the earth with his words. Genesis 1 resounds with this refrain, and God said, and God said, and God said, and it was so, and it was good. But how did the fall of man happen? It started with words. Did God really say? Look at how Solomon describes the power of words in Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Our words are like seeds, and they will bear fruit, either death or life. So if we are going to be men of wisdom, we have to be wise with our words. And fortunately, Proverbs has a lot to say, no pun intended, about our words. In fact, more than any other topic, the topic of words is what the book of Proverbs is about. And the first point for tonight, our first step to becoming a man of wisdom with our words, is to understand that a wise man speaks slowly. Look at Proverbs 10:19. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. In other words, where words are many, sin is sure. The more we talk, the more likely we are to say something foolish, to cross the line. But someone who restrains his lips, the one who is slow to speak, is wise. Perhaps one of the most common times when this happens is when someone's experiencing grief. When we know someone who is experiencing loss, we have this profound need that we feel like we have to say something. But often what happens is that while well-meaning, we often say something foolish. Heaven must have needed another angel. I know exactly what you're going through. Look on the bright side. Think about Job. Job was a righteous man. But Satan thought that the only reason why Job obeyed God was because God had been good to him and had blessed him, and that things were going well in Job's life. He had lots of land, cattle, and a large family. And so Satan tried to prove a point by taking all of that away from him, which didn't work, by the way. Job remained faithful, but he was grieving. And so three of his friends came to visit him, and they started out great. Job chapter 2 talks about these friends. It says, they made an appointment together to come to sympathize with him and comfort him. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights with no one speaking a word to him, for they saw that his pain was very great. You know when it all started to unravel? When they started opening their mouths. The book of Job, the majority of the book of Job is essentially Job's friends just collectively putting their feet in their mouths over and over and over again. So if we want to be wise, we need to do like Jesus' half-brother James taught us, that we need to be quick to hear and slow to speak. Before we can speak wise words, we have to listen. The 20th century theologian Francis Schaeffer said that if he had an hour to share the gospel with someone, he would spend the first 55 minutes listening. And then, and only then, in the last 5 minutes would he have something meaningful to say. So before we can ask, how wise are you with your words, we have to ask, how good of a listener are you? The campus ministry crew put together a list of traits that describe bad listeners and traits that describe good listeners. And here's what they came up with. Bad listeners change the subject. Often, they turn the subject of the conversation back on themselves. Bad listeners start thinking about how to respond while the other person is still talking. Bad listeners get distracted by a screen. And bad listeners interrupt and have negative nonverbals, arms crossed, a frown, and poor eye contact. Anyone else convicted? Conversely, good listeners show genuine interest in the other person. Good listeners ask thoughtful questions. Good listeners have positive nonverbals, like a smile and eye contact and the occasional head nod. Good listeners listen to understand, not to respond. And good listeners allow the other person to finish speaking before they start to speak themselves. So if you want to be wise with your words, it starts with you keeping your mouth shut. One of my favorite proverbs is Proverbs 17:28, if you want to turn there. And it illustrates this principle well. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he's considered prudent. The good news of that verse is even if you are a fool, you can at least trick people into thinking that you're wise if you will just stay quiet. But sadly, that rarely happens, right? Why is that? Well, look just a couple verses later at Proverbs 18, verse 2. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. Is there not a verse that more accurately describes our culture today? To paraphrase Bruce Waltke, beware having a closed mind and an open mouth. Now, certainly we can't keep our mouths shut all the time. Certainly there is a time to speak. So when it is time to speak, how do we ensure that we are speaking words of wisdom? Well, our next point is that a wise man speaks truth. Remember that what we have been saying since week one, wisdom is the character of God. And do you remember how the Lord revealed himself to Moses in Exodus 34:6? The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. Or Jesus, God's wisdom incarnate, said of himself, I am the way and the truth and the life. So if we want to be wise, if we want to reflect God's character to the world around us, we need to speak truth. Look at Proverbs 12, verse 19 and verse 22. Truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. And then verse 22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight. Truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. The truth, that which accords with reality, will last. It will never change, and it always passes the test. But all lies, sooner or later, will be exposed. But notice, Proverbs 12:19 is not just talking about truth versus lies, it's talking about the people who speak truth versus the people who speak lies. Truthful lips, a lying tongue. These are examples of what we call a synecdoche. It's when a part of something represents the whole. So if I say, hey man, nice set of wheels, talking about your entire car, right? Or when an army general says, we have 1,000 boots on the ground, he's not talking about footwear, right? So when Solomon is talking about truthful lips and a lying tongue, he's talking about the man who speaks truth versus the man who speaks lies. And the man who speaks truth will be established forever, but the man who speaks lies is only for a moment. Once again, we see that the hope of the book of Proverbs, in fact, the hope of the entire storyline of Scripture, is the resurrection. When those who are righteous by grace through faith in Christ will inherit eternal life on a new earth. But those who do not turn to the Lord, those who do not turn from their lying ways, will be discovered and will be subject to God's justice. Because lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. God is disgusted by lies. Because lies are the opposite of God's character. And because it was the father of lies who caused the first man and woman in the garden to fall into sin by tricking them into believing a lie. In essence, lies are the source of all that is evil and wrong and painful in our world. So God hates lies. He's disgusted by them. But he delights in those who are faithful and true. Those who say what they mean and mean what they say. Because they are the ones who reflect his character. So we tell the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth, even when it's hard. Now, some of you are thinking, oh, I have no problem telling the truth. I'm a straight shooter. Well, yes, we need to speak truth, but we also need to speak life. A wise man speaks life. Look at Proverbs 12:18. There is one who speaks rashly, like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. In other words, the fool's words hurt, the wise man's words heal. Now, that's not to say that there isn't a time for speaking hard truth, but it should always be done in love for the good of the other person, and not just because we want to tell it like it is. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. So we speak life, because it's the wise thing to do. It's the right thing to do. It's the loving thing to do. One of my favorite examples of this comes from The Road, which is our missions ministry here at Faith Bridge. It's a phenomenal organization with a level of intentionality that is virtually unparalleled. And part of the secret sauce of these journeys is the team time at the end of every night. And so at the end of the night, after doing some hard manual labor or telling people about Jesus and preaching the gospel, the team gathers together for some time of worship and to debrief the day and to study Scripture together. And the team time ends with a time for encouragement. And the way this works is that every person on the team chooses someone else on the team to encourage that day. And they reflect on how they've seen the Lord working in that person and through that person. And they try to sum it up in one word. And so they'll take a little card and they'll write that word on one side of the card. And then on the back, they'll describe why they chose that word for that person. And then every team time ends with going around the circle, one at a time, one team member encouraging another team member, looking them in the eye and speaking life into that person. And it's truly amazing. It's truly transformational because most people, perhaps especially men, are not very used to giving and receiving encouragement. It's not to mention encouragement that is personal and specific and Christ-centered. In fact, part of the reason why I stand before you all tonight is because of some words of encouragement that a man spoke to me several years ago while on a mission trip. So we want to speak truth, but we also want to make sure that these true words that we speak give life, that they give grace to the person who hears. We want to say the right thing, but we want to make sure that we say the right thing at the right time, in the right way. Look at Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. We are Christians. We are good news people. When we see someone down, we should encourage them with gospel truth. So when you see someone who's anxious about their finances, remind them that they have a heavenly Father who knows them and loves them, and he knows their needs, and he will provide for them. Or if they're anxious about having what it takes to face the challenges of the day, remind them that the Lord's grace is sufficient for them. Or if they're anxious about a diagnosis, remind them of the hope that we have in the resurrection. And like we talked about earlier tonight, don't forget to listen and empathize first. It's not just about speaking truth. It's about speaking the right truth at the right time, in the right way, so that it gives life to those who hear. Or let's say you're in the middle of a conflict with your spouse or one of your children or a coworker. Remember the words of Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. What you want to say in the moment may be true, but does it need to be said right then? Does it need to be said at all? Is it gentle? Does it speak life? The right thing at the right time in the right way. Look at Proverbs 15:23 to see what happens when we do this well. A man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word. The right thing at the right time in the right way. Be slow to speak. Speak truth. And speak life. Here's how the Apostle John, who walked and talked with Jesus, described the incarnation, that when God became a man in the person of Jesus of Nazareth 2,000 years ago. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was and is the Word of God in human flesh, full of grace and truth, who came to give us life. He came to give his life on the cross for us so that we could be forgiven including being forgiven of all the foolish and hurtful things we've ever said or will say. And Jesus resurrected as a preview and a promise of our future resurrection, when we will have eternal life on a new earth. Nothing but life and grace and truth for all eternity. And then when he ascended into heaven, Jesus sent his Spirit, by whom we have the power and the grace to change, that we can be transformed from fools into wise men. We can go from men who are quick to speak to men who are slow to listen. We can go from men who speak falsehood into men who speak truth. And we can grow and be changed and transformed by grace through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us, to go from men who speak death and to men who speak life. Let's pray. Father, you are truth. You are life. You are all powerful, creating entire worlds simply by speaking. We admit that we are fools when it comes to words. We speak when we should listen. We speak untruths and half-truths. We speak words that cut down rather than build up. Forgive us, Father. Thank you for sending your Son as the Word, full of grace and truth, to give us life. Help us be quick to listen, slow to speak. Help us be men who speak truth. And help us be men who speak life, so that it will give grace to those who hear. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.